Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We used to do what we called civic therapy on Monday mornings after Ravens losses. I'll be doing a little bit of therapy. We get extra time after that stinkeroo down in Miami on Thursday night. We will be on Wednesday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be bringing it to Coco's, finally with our mayor, Brandon Scott. We had great visits this week with earlier in the week on Wednesday at Fadley's. On Friday afternoon, in the aftermath of the mess, if you want to drink your tears away, we'll be at Nick's Grandstand Grill Friday afternoon. Lots of guests from 2 until 5. This guy was up all night on Thursday night. I was up all night on Thursday night watching a game that is, Luke, it's every coach's nightmare trying to play football 4 days later on the road, wondering if you're prepared, playing 70 minutes on Sunday, and then going there. And I don't remember John Harbaugh saying this. You've been at as many press conference with John Harbaugh as I can. We were not prepared to play, right? Like, not I didn't have the team prepared. This is all that coach falling on the sword and all that. It just looked like the worst evidence of why they shouldn't play games on Thursday night. That's not an excuse for the Ravens. It's just they weren't ready to play. It was terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, we can talk about the Thursday night thing. And as Buck Showalter would have said years ago, that's a convenient excuse if you want to use that. They played a terrible football game on Thursday night. And it would be one thing if you had that kind of a performance against Pittsburgh, let's say, a middling team, you know, a team that was 500. But this has been a Dolphins team that's been lousy this year. I mean, let's not mince words. They beat the Houston Texans last week, despite the fact that they turned the ball over 5 times. I mean, this is a lousy Dolphins team that has been one of the biggest disappointments in the NFL. They won 10 games a year ago. There were expectations for this team. The big question was, what about Tua? What about the quarterback situation? And all you need to know about how they felt about him is all the Deshaun Watson rumors you heard leading up to the trade deadline, considering how toxic that guy is right now from a legal standpoint and not knowing what's going to happen there.
Let's make that guy our quarterback. That sounds like sound decision-making, right?
Well, but I'm saying from a football standpoint, I mean, it just speaks volumes of they don't believe in the guy. And this is a team that going into this game, only Jacksonville had given up more passing yards than the Ravens gave up to them, even though certainly you wouldn't look at the defense as the main culprit, but they had their moments, and certainly we can get into that. But more specifically, I kind of come back to, as much as you can point to the Dolphins or say it's Thursday night, weird, I'm prepared. They played an overtime game against Minnesota on Sunday. This is the Ravens process that we've seen all year long. They start very slowly, too slowly offensively. They have one touchdown in the first quarter since week 2. And defensively, they give up big plays. And it kills them over and over and over. And it's not just a case where someone is making tremendous plays on the other side. You could say that about Ja'Marr Chase in the Bengals game. We're seeing busted coverages over and over.
Well, the last play of the game was really embarrassing. The play down the left side where nobody's covering the guy, that's amateur. That's beyond that. We haven't seen that much in the history of Ravens football, be honest, that kind of play with the game on the line.
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. I mean, I had just tweeted out, who else is having that crazy feeling that the Ravens are going to figure out a way to inexplicably win this football game, and then you bust a coverage? I mean, you can't have that. So I think that's, for me, more so than just saying, all right, you lost to a bad team. These are the issues we have been seeing, maybe not over 60 full minutes as we did largely on Thursday night, but these are the problems we continue to see about this football team.
And when you're 6-2 and win games by overtime and kick 66 yards, it deodorizes all of your problems, literally, right? I mean, and they've had a lot of problems. They've been behind again on Thursday night, double-digit behind late in the game. That's going on all year. And to your point, they've had a Houdini act. I mean, they have I literally almost tweeted, and I guess I said glad I didn't, but it was a little sleepy late on Thursday night. I was going to tweet, oh, here's where Lamar goes into the phone booth, when he comes out and puts the S on, and that's going to happen. And it sort of kind of happened out of the gate, right? Out of the gate, they move the ball, and you're like, all right, they got 2 drives and a stop in them. I mean, they're only, they're down 2 scores. They have 2 drives and a stop in them. They'll figure this out. Boy, when it came time to put the gas down, I was really disappointed by them in the fourth quarter because I thought they had a run in them, right? Because that's we've talked about. They're like a basketball team. They have a run in them. They didn't find that on Thursday night late.
They really didn't. But I want to go back to something you just said about deodorizing because they've been winning. And maybe it's because I had a lot of time on my hands waiting all day for Thursday night. You know, you have these primetime games. But I put on A Football Life, Nick Saban, which I think came out a month and a half ago, something like that. I had it in my DVR, wanting to watch it. I mean, say what you want about Nick Saban, the Miami Dolphins head coach, but what he's done at the college level, it speaks for itself. We know what kind of football mind he is.
Well, see what kind of actor he is in these new commercials too, you know?
Yeah. So. But the thing he talked about in that special was process over final score on the scoreboard. And anyone who's a college football fan has seen those times where Alabama's up by 50 points, but the second or third defense gives up a touchdown with a minute to go, and Saban is losing his mind on the sideline. And look, I'm not saying we need to see John Harbaugh do that, but the point is being concerned with process and playing as though there's no scoreboard. And if you look at it from that standpoint, that's where the Ravens process concerns me. Not that their system, their culture, or anything like that, but just the way that they've gone about trying to win football games this year. They continue to start slow. I know Greg Roman has talked about this on a couple occasions. You know, the old concept of scripting the first 15 plays, the Ravens don't do that. And the reason why he's explained that is they get so many different looks out of the gate from opposing defenses that it hasn't really served them well. Well, that's well and good. And that's fine, but the way you're doing it right now is not working because you're continuously starting slow in football games. And when you do that, you give teams like the Miami Dolphins hope that they can hang around. Something weird happens. You fumble. You turn the ball over. It's returned for a touchdown. Busted coverage. You know, they give up the big pass play at the end of the first half. Those types of things can happen where you're a play or two away from being down two scores. So we're seeing that. And then on the flip side, defensively, again, going back to the process, you can talk all you want about how good their third down defense has been, how good their red zone defense has been, and that's true. And that's a credit to them. At the same time, whether it's because you continue to miss tackles, which we saw some of that on Thursday night, certainly, and we've seen a lot of that over the course of the season, or you get into a position where you're busting a coverage and Albert Wilson's wide open, coming in motion, and no one picks him up in man coverage. You can't have that. If someone makes a great play, but you have your assignment and you're where you're supposed to be and the guy just beats you one-on-one, you can accept that, especially understanding that you're missing guys like Marcus Peters. You know, you're missing guys on your offensive line like Ronnie Stanley, Patrick McCary at right tackle. So if you're losing those one-on-one battles from a physical standpoint or a technique standpoint, all right. But when you don't have your assignment down, when you have busted coverages with your defense and you're giving up big plays, I mean, you know, this is a Dolphins offense that only the Jacksonville Jaguars have given up more passing yards to than the Ravens did last night. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa and Jacoby Brissett combined for over 300 passing yards. Now, counting the sacks, it was 290 net passing yards, but only Jacksonville has done better, you know, has given up or has, you know, done worse than that. So, I mean, it's not good enough. It's just not good enough. And you can use the Thursday night thing if you want, you know, and certainly Thursday night football is a challenge, but well, the Indianapolis Colts, look what they did against the Jets the previous week. I know of the nine, not counting week one, because that's not really a short week because you had that time. There've been four road teams that have won on Thursday night. So it's not impossible. So again, if you had this kind of performance against a Pittsburgh, against a Cleveland, against a 500-ish team, you'd be mad about it, certainly. But this was a lousy football team they played on Thursday night. And yeah, you give them credit for Thursday night, and it's the NFL. And you know, we kind of joked about it just a few days ago, talking about Jacksonville beating Buffalo. And I joked about it in jest on Twitter that the Ravens should be on upset alert. Well, it is the nature of the NFL, but again, you go back to process, you know, how this team has played over the course of 60 minutes, not looking at the final score. You're seeing these issues pop up over and over and over again. And the one thing that is a little bit concerning in that regard is you're just recently coming off your bye week. And we saw them start really slow against Minnesota at home. And then, of course, they start really slow on Thursday night, and they never, you know, they never get going. So it's not even a saying a slow start. They just never got going. So that's a little concerning, because the bye week should have been the time where you're self-scouting and you're figuring some of these things out, and yet we're seeing the same exact issues rear their ugly heads. So yeah, they're 6-3. That's not, you know, it's nothing to panic about in the big picture. However, we talked about this going into this game. This team has not played a juggernaut of a schedule over the first 9 games. The juggernaut of the schedule is coming after Thanksgiving. That's looming. And, you know, if you want to call the Chicago game, you know, a gimme on paper, although the Bears certainly played well against Pittsburgh on Monday night, especially late.
I watched them play Thursday night. There's no gimme for them.
Well, I'm just saying.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Right, sure. But I'm just saying, even regardless of how they played on Thursday night, you get beyond this game, and then they play Chicago. After that, there are no more sub-500 teams.
After that, you think of yourself as a 500 team the rest of the way, because you're seeing Pittsburgh 1 week, Cleveland 1 week. If you think of yourself as 5-1 in December and January, great. If that's what you're going to be, you better be thinking about yourself as 3-3 if you're looking at the Rams and the if you're looking at that schedule, where they are, you should think of yourself as, let's get ahead of the curve. And 7-2 is a lot different than 6-3, no doubt about it. Luke Jones is here. He's Baltimore Luke. He is going to be out in Owings Mills. They're going to be taking a little time off, although after what we saw on Thursday night, maybe not so much. All brought to you by Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. I have been working some fried chicken lately because it's winter time. We don't feel like cooking around here. I don't know what it is about the Royal Farm chicken, but it tastes better than it used to. I don't know what to say. Like, since the tour this summer, I've been eating more of it. And the more I eat, the more I want. So have at that for whatever it's worth. Wednesday, we're going to be at Coco's with our mayor, presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let Yourself Play. Brandon Scott will be joining us, and lots of crab cake talk. But more than that, extra time here to get ready for the Bears. Offensively, let's start with the offense. And first and 10, and when it becomes first and 15 or second and 9 or third and 9 or third and 15 or whatever, we did not see down and distance. We didn't see them take care of the ball. We saw them punting. We just saw an offense that just did not get it done on Thursday night at all. And part of it was a real rhythm issue. And the rhythm is first down, second down, first down, first down, second down, first down. It's not first and long meets second and long meets third and long meets Sam Cook.
Yeah. And well, I mean, it begins with going 2-for-14 on third down, and it doesn't
The third down 14 times is something they don't always do. So I do want to give a little bit of credit to that. The fact that they got the third down is a credit to the Dolphins, and really besmirches them on first and second down. They were very unproductive on first and second down, right?
Well, what do I always say to you? The best third down offense is avoiding third down altogether. And they did not do that, certainly. And I mean, there was so much discussion over the course of the game about the cover zero looks and the defensive backs blitzing against them. And I think what was discouraging about that is you didn't get the sense in the post-game press conference, you know, from hearing Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews and even John Harbaugh talk about this, they kind of figured the Dolphins were going to do this against them. So the question is, why weren't you better prepared for that? You know, I mean, it's not as though teams have not tried to blitz them before. We've seen teams try to blitz them, and we've seen the Ravens annihilate that blitz to the point where teams have to back off then. But they just had no answers. I mean, credit, you know, Brian Flores and you know, his Dolphins defense, that they were able to use that cover zero, but also some simulation where, you know, someone looks like they're going to rush and then they drop back. I mean, we see the Ravens do these kind of things quite frequently, so it's not something that's completely novel, but they just had no answers for it. And you're in a position where this isn't a great third down offense. I mean, they came into Thursday night's game 23rd in the NFL in third down conversion rate. And I know specifically Football Outsiders tracks third and short, third and medium, third and long. And I think third and long is, I think that is classified as third and 7 or more. The Ravens are dead last in the NFL in efficiency for third and long situations. And
well, that used to mean Lamar drops back and takes off like a bat out of hell and gets 14 yards and runs out of bounds. That's the way that looked 2 years ago. They're not letting him do that anymore on third and 7.
But what's strange about that, though, Nestor, is this team's pushing the ball down the field as well as anyone in the league on first and second down. I mean, it's not as though they're dinking and dunking their way to wins this year. They push the ball down the fields, and they've done it really well on first and second down. but they haven't done it at all on third down, you know, when they're in positions of third and seven or longer. And, you know, you kind of, you know, you can look at the play-by-play sheet and see it was, you know, third and five or longer all night.
And, well, third and seven or longer across the scope of football is not a great down.
It's not. Right? And let's be clear, even the best passing games in the history of the league are trying to avoid those situations. You know, it's not as though Tom Brady likes third and 10.
If you put yourself in third and seven every time, I don't say you're going to go 2-for-4 or 1-for-4. What were they? 2-for-14? 1-for-14? I have the stats in front of me.
2-for-14.
You're not going to go 2-for-14, but like,
it's not going to be good. It's not
gonna be 50%. If you're going to have 14 third and longs, go at it. You know, every team drafts for third and long to get off the field. Yeah. They should be, the Dolphins should be able to get off the field at home on third and long part of the night.
Yeah, but there was just, I mean, and this goes back to not really understanding what their plan was. You know, if they said they were prepared for the Dolphins to blitz them a lot, and the Dolphins do blitz quite frequently, you know, how they were combating that, you know, and I get some of the wide receiver screens, you know, with some of the looks they were getting, that it would be a way to try to offset that, to combat that. But, you know, situations where they were running in second and long, I mean, that's football analytics 101, say, don't do that. I mean, don't this idea of when you're in second and long, you lose yardage on first down, you get a sack, or, you know, your running back loses a yard. You don't run in second and long. You throw in second and long and try to set up third and short then. But they were doing that. You know, one thing that I really did not like, and I know other people were noting it on social media, they just had no tempo to them. I mean, how many times are they going up to the line of scrimmage and snapping the ball with a second left on the play clock? I mean,
it was like indecisive. It was really weird, right?
I mean, I don't indecisive or just it seemed lackadaisical. I mean, I don't know if they were doing that trying to shorten the game because they did play 98 plays offensively against the Vikings or what. But you do that. Here's the problem, especially when a team's blitzing, the play clock comes down. Guess what? They're timing it up then that defensive line is going to get off on the snap with a second left. They know that you have to snap the ball or it's a delay of game. So there's no concept of a hard count there or anything like that where you're going to get them off balance. So it was just, it was very odd in that way. And I mean, just a very, very strange head scratching kind of performance in that way. I mean, you know, I don't want to pick on the defense too much because they certainly were guilty of some bad play at some bad times. But overall, I mean, you look at the final score, they gave up 22 points and the Dolphins returned a fumble for a touchdown, right? I mean, you know, that wasn't on the defense. So you kind of look at it in its totality, give up that many points defensively in a game, especially against a team like that. You're thinking, oh, offense has this. They should win by 10 points. No problem, right? You're going to score at least 24 points against them. I mean, you know, this is a team that's, you know, that given up 27 points a game this year. The Dolphins were going into Thursday night. So, I mean, it was just very discouraging, very baffling to see the Ravens offense just be that bad. But again, I'll go back to what I said in terms of how their overall process has looked this year. They continue to start way too slowly on the offensive side of the ball. And to your point, as much as you were waiting, hoping, praying, if you're a Ravens fan, that Lamar Jackson's going to go into the phone booth and out comes Superman and leads them to another comeback victory. Yeah, the thing we had said about that is if you continue to rely on that to win football games, guess what? That coin's going to land on the wrong side at least a couple times. And boy, it certainly did on Thursday night. And the Ravens come home 6-3 and, you know, kind of looking ahead now as you get the extra rest. All right, you know, go to Chicago, Bears, rookie quarterback. I'll pick the Ravens to win that game, sure. But after that, you look at the rest of the schedule, and you look at how this team is playing typically week to week, they've got to be a lot better or there are certainly going to be not just a couple more losses left on the schedule, but there could be a few too many where things get a little dicier. And you're hoping that, you know, the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers are continuing to win on Sundays.
All right, red zone it up on Sunday and throughout the week. Luke Jones will be around when the Ravens get back out on the field. All of it brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday at Nick's Grandstand Grill. Going to be joined by some friends. Jim Rees going to join us. Leonard Raskin's going to be by for a little post-game look. And we're going to have the delicious Tommy Chigora's Crab Cake and from Nick's Seafood, formerly across street now at the Grandstand Grill. On Wednesday, we'll be at Coco's with our mayor, Brandon Scott. Corey McRae going to be stopping by. Some of our friends from Coppin. We are the voice of Coppin. We played the we kicked off our Coppin season on Thursday night here at WNSD AM 1570. So make sure go Eagles. Say hello to Juan, everybody else. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, doing a lot of crab cake tour and doing a lot of post-game football and wish we had a better news final out of Miami Gardens on Thursday night. Alas, we did not. We're back to talk more about it. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.